So with that in mind, I'm going to talk specifically about some of the problems within Quaker theology and then some of the potentials that we have as well as Quakers. So starting with the problems. So one of the problems with Quaker theology is that it kind of came into existence alongside the Enlightenment. And so within the Enlightenment, we're focused on rationality and objectivity, separation of the object and the subject, and the subject not, or ourselves as subject and objectifying other things or people. So we have this sense of when we're not doing Quakerism well, that is, we fit into this sense of the classical economic understanding of you've got this separation between land, labor, and capital, and all of this fits in very well with Enlightenment tradition, and you simply exchange something. You know, if you run out of one resource, you exchange it for another resource. If you run out of one people group to exploit, you substitute for another people group to exploit. So Quakerism has come up, I guess, within the same time frame as the Enlightenment. And so in the ways that we have brought on those ideas of rationality being the way that we do things, we also tend to participate in these systems that oppress people, even though we talk about not doing that. So we have this sense of unlimited growth with our culture. Here's the classical model of economics, where you've got the households and the firms supporting each other in a nice circle, where the households work for the firms and the firms provide resources for the households, but it doesn't really have a sense of the importance of each individual within that system and what happens if a person can't doesn't have a value within that system, also where the resource is coming from. Moving to a system where we understand that the whole human economy and social system fits within the ecology of the planet is important, to recognize that we're nested within that, that it's not that the economy is this and the natural world is the piece that's the resources, but that the resource that we have is the bigger piece, and we need to fit within that and make sure that the system functions well in such a way that all of that can continue healthily, particularly the importance of and value of each individual within that system. All right, so this... So maybe it's hard to visualize how we as Quakers have gotten connected with the Enlightenment thought, but one of the ways that I think is because we tend to spiritualize everything, right? So we sit in worship in traditional Quaker fashion, being silent, right? And that's the way that we commune with God, and this has many positive things about it because it's important for our brains to be still, and it's a great way to connect with God, to be still together and to listen really well. And those are great practices that friends do that are wonderful. But sometimes it focuses us on our kind of rational mind, and we think about our spirit being connected to God, and we have to ignore our body, right? And if our body is like, our tummy's rumbling during open worship, it's kind of embarrassing, or whatever, you know, if we're hungry or something, we have to just kind of ignore that. So it can tend to lead us toward ignoring the physical and trying to get rid of our physical bodies and focusing on elevating our spirit and our rational mind. And that is what we as friends tend to value. So I think we need to bring those back together and have a way of connecting those again. So one of the things is that we don't practice the physical sacraments, right? And so this has excellent reasons, and I am all for those excellent reasons of not practicing the physical sacraments because they're not necessary for salvation, right? But something about the physical sacraments is that they are actual physical pieces of our world, right? And so we ingest the body and the blood, and we are doused with water, depending on what tradition you're from. at least sprinkled, right? And those things are part of our world and connect us with the place that we are. So some people who are focusing on environmental care are utilizing the physical elements as ways to remind us of where we are and connecting us with our place. So having physical, or having wine and grape juice from our physical location, you know, so and bread, and using the water from a local river. And if it's too dirty, then that makes you think, like, why can't we do baptism in our local river, right? So that's a way of connecting us to our actual physical place. So personalizing of our faith is something else that we as friends, that can get us into trouble. So there's great stuff about it, right? We have a personal relationship with the divine. We don't have to have an intermediary. Those are wonderful things. To the extent that we also think about the importance of the community, that's great. If we forget about the community and we think that only my relationship with the divine matters and I don't have to listen to anyone else and I don't have to be accountable to anybody else, that's where it can get us off track. So if we personalize it so much that it's that I only trust the light within and I don't trust my community, I don't have accountability to my community or responsibility to them, that can get us into trouble and disconnect us, because then we don't have any responsibility to care for one another within that system, right? We only have the responsibility to our inward understanding of who the light is. This can lead us toward both intellectualism and anti-intellectualism. So we see both of this happening, not just in the Quaker church right now, but in the Christian church and in popular culture, that because we're focusing so much on our personal relationship with God or our personal rights, depending on if we're talking about Quakerism or the culture in general, we can either say, well, I'm going to have authority because I'm very intellectual and I'm using my rational knowledge and those are the things that we give value to. Or we can say, I reject all that stuff because, you know, you don't have to be educated at Oxford or Cambridge or Princeton in order to be valuable, right? So you you reject anything that is intellectual so that you focus only on what I know and what is important to me, because that's the light speaking to me. So we can go both of those directions, and both of those can disconnect us from one another and keep us separated from one another, so that we don't have to listen, we don't have to be accountable to one another. Our rituals and our culture within Quakerism can get us into trouble too, because a lot of times we end up being kind of a peculiar people, right, who we kind of are happy that we're a little weird, and in some ways that can be really good, but it can also be kind of off-putting to people who come in and want to try to be part of us, right? So how do we find that balance between, okay, we're kind of strange and we're countercultural, but people that try to come in and become part of us are welcome and can connect with us. So so I think this has to do with environmental concerns, in the sense that if we're a little bit too stuck in our ways, too stuck in our rituals and our little traditions, we don't have a lot of voice in the community, for one thing, because there aren't very many of us, and nobody understands what we're saying because we're talking Quaker speak all the time. And we don't really understand what the community's needs are because we're so stuck in our little cliques. So so this can be something that holds us back, that we really enjoy our little Quaker rituals and our ways of being Quaker, and these are positive things in a lot of ways to continue these traditions that we've found meaningful as a community, but they can also exclude us from the broader conversations and of having a voice in the world outside of the meeting house. And also, they can become these sorts of things that when we, you know, meet in silence and focus on our mind, then that's a ritual that disconnects us from our body and from the natural world and the creation. All right, so those are the problems. And those are all also positive things about Quakers. So I don't want you to hear me saying that we shouldn't have a personal relationship with the divine, or that we shouldn't have a central form of what it means to be Quaker or something like that, but that these are things that if we practice them exclusively, they become problematic and they disconnect us from the rest of the natural world and creation and keep us from being reconciled with the rest of the people in the world around us rather than leading toward reconciliation. Does that make sense? Are we all on the same page so far?